It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 696 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, I talk with several of the excellent comics creators from the 216-page modern fantasy anthology called Concrete Arcanum, Living with Monsters. This project was coordinated by Nathan Luth, who's of course been on this podcast before, so I'm happy to welcome back. They have a Kickstarter going on, and it will conclude on Sunday, July 20 at 1:53 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Several of the great creators from that book participated in this interview, including Nathan himself, S.P. Burke, Mark Romero, Mickey E., and Michael Howe. We discuss how this series and this new volume came to be, delve into some of the fascinating stories there, and talk with the creators about their creations. Be sure to back this terrific anthology as soon as you've finished listening to our fun conversation. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what they all have to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. What would happen if the mainstream world discovered that magic is real? How would the public react if they found out monsters live among us? A follow-up hit to the 2022 Kickstarter, Concrete Arcanum Living with Monsters, collects 30 tales about monsters in the modern day, exploring themes of trust, fear, love, and betrayal in a world where monsters aren't just threats to fight. They're part of the family, part of the system, and sometimes they are the system. And we got a bunch of good folks with us today. Let me start off with the guy who is, I think, the brain behind all this, and that's Nathan Luth. Welcome back, Nathan. How you doing?
Hey, man, it's been too long.
It's been a little bit. So let's see. You're the guy that put this all together, right?
I am. As a brain of the operation, might be a little bit too much credit, but yes, I was fortunate enough to attract all these fine people to the project, and they have not disappointed in the slightest.
Okay, it's a 216-page modern fantasy anthology, it's called. And that's, I understand it got underway on June the 6th. Do you know when this concludes?
Yes, we are going for a little bit of a longer Kickstarter this time around. We've gone for 45 days, which would put the last day on July 18th. Don't delay, though, because those rewards are going fast.
That's right. The good things are. Now, do you want to introduce the people, Nathan? You know these people better than I. Why don't you introduce some other folks, and we'll start talking after that.
Indeed. Let's see. In no particular order, we have Seamus Patrick Burke, an old friend from...
Hey, how you guys doing?
Let's see. We have Michael Howe, a fellow convention warrior. We have Mickey. Is it just Mickey, or did you have a fuller handle?
It's just Mickey.
Yes, Mickey, whose art caught my eye at a comic convention as well. And then Mark Romero, a fellow alum from the comics launch.
How are you, Mark?
I'm doing good. Excited to be here.
Good. And the only one I didn't hear from was Michael. Can you say hello, Michael, just so people know what you sound like?
Hello. Yes, this is Michael.
Sorry, did I miss you?
No, he said, you said his name.
It's the whole, wait, do we cut in? Do we not? You know.
Plus, Nathan was saying something about me. Like, Nathan and I met each other at the Minneapolis College of Art and Design. I was in the comics program. He was in the illustration program. So I think that's probably the friendship that goes back the furthest of this lot.
3,000 years ago.
Yeah. back when the Earth was young.
Right.
All right. Now, as I understand it, your story is first, Nathan. Do you want to talk about your story before we get into everybody else?
Yes, this was an idea that I've been kicking around for a long time, and it's called long-term relationship, and the gist of it is, how do long-lived beings like vampires and elves or whatever, how do they relationship? How do you, like, navigate just basic stuff like generational differences when you're several generations old? So I kind of, this is me playing that out. It has a fun little tie-in to my current ongoing series, The Canon Evangel. But I'm super happy to finally put this thing to paper and to have it show up in Concrete Arcanum Living with Monsters.
All right, sounds good. I guess I'll go down the order I see people in here. Seamus, what's the story you are providing?
Okay, so the story that I provided is called Across the Hall, and kind of like Nathan, it was one I had kicked around for a while. And the original origin of the idea actually started in lockdown, because I was one of those people who was working from home, couldn't go outside. And the thing is that before lockdown, I thought of myself as an introvert, but I think what I realized from that whole experience is that even if you're an introvert, you still expect the outside world to be there. And I live, for just to kind of place myself geographically, I live in downtown Portland, which suffered a lot during those days. And it was no party and it was no disco. And I was in my apartment building that I still live in, incidentally. And, you know, we were all just going mad on top of each other. And so my short, which is called Across the Hall, it's basically a fantastical, like, version of actual incidents that have happened inside my apartment.
Okay. Well, I wanted to point out, according to the story, your name goes by S.P. Burke.
Yes, it does. Seamus Patrick Burke is my full name. It is the most Irish name ever. I go by S.P. professionally because I just don't want to deal with that half of the time. I'm sort of going by S.P.B. just to kind of get the brevity thing, like, as I've expanded into, you know, like, YouTube and TikTok. But the funny thing is, I chose that name originally because of J.K. Rowling, and that was not a choice that aged well. speaking of the other side of fantasy,
we won't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Do you actually appear in the story, or are you just?
I do not. The protagonist of the story is so the original idea for Across the Hall was a video game, but the protagonist was always the same. The protagonist was named Cameron. And Cameron is one of those things where I think when with any character, you start out with somebody who is half somebody else or half a combination of people. But then by the end of the day, they become like half you. And so Cameron started out based off somebody who lived in my building, my same floor, who was very different than me. But, you know, a very different person, but similar in a lot of ways. And as I kind of got deeper in the story, I just started kind of giving more of my traits to them. And I'm kind of like, I'm just making fun of myself at this point, practically. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that they walk around in their underwear and or their pajamas and they just suck down coffee and ramen. And it just sums up so much of my experience working from home at that time.
Wow. I'm surprised that more stories haven't come out about the pandemic, because so much happened during the pandemic when we were forced to look at each other for a change.
I am convinced that I told those stories this way because that was my only way that I was able to process everything that was going on around me, because there was stuff that was just central to my floor, never mind anything else that was going on in the building. And okay, I'm going to tell you a dark story, but it's kind of hilarious, and it, like all the best stories are. I got fresh inspiration while I was working on my portion, because I was illustrating my portion through most of spring leading up to the deadline that was at the beginning of April. And there's no other way to put this. I heard a neighbor around the corner from my apartment, because I live in the corner of the hallway near the courtyard. So everybody else is kind of around the bend for me. I heard somebody screaming and being sedated and dragged away by paramedics. There's no other way to put it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, they were just like, no, just hear it out in the hallway. And I'm just not going outside. I am not bothering with any of that, right? Everything goes quiet. That was the first thing in the morning. I get up pretty early, but that would have woken me up for sure. I wasn't even done with my first cup of coffee yet. And so I finally get the courage to go outside. 6 feet going parallel down the hallway were fingernails. He had been dragged they literally dragged him to the point where he was trying to claw on the wall. And
I took a picture of that and I put it in the background of the story, because what else could I do in that situation? I'm like, this place is giving me fresh inspiration. I have to put this in.
See, I saw that and I was like, that's a nice little side touch, but like, holy crap. I did not realize that.
You saw that. It's on the second page. Those were real. Those were real.
My goodness. Wow. Now I got to make sure I read that one thoroughly. All right. Next in line is Mickey.
Yeah, please go to the next person after that. We need a breather.
Mickey, what story did you provide, or what did you provide in this?
So my story was titled...
You there, Mickey?
Oh, yes. Can you hear me?
Well? Oh, no.
Let's go to Mark.
No. Hello.
Mark, why don't you talk about your story?
Oh. All right. So my story is Baking with Grandma. And I actually came up with the prompt for it pretty quickly after I read the kind of setup that Nathan did for the Concrete Arcanum. And it's something that has been eating at me for quite some time. So I was really excited when I read the initial prompt. And I'm going to try to be as diplomatic as possible when I say this. So if anyone listens to this, they don't know it's about them. But one of my experiences, growing up. Oh, Mickey's back.
You are.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
No. It's fine. Mark was having their turn.
Yeah. So when I was growing up, and I don't know if other people experience this, but I had aunts and uncles and, grandmas and grandpas and everything. And everything felt happy and good and normal. And I feel like as I've gotten older, I've noticed things about the way things were, or I learned things that kind of uncover a veil about who I thought my grandparents were when I was a kid versus who they actually were.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I wanted to write a story that was kind of about discovering a sinister side to someone you've known all of your life. And for a long time, they were they were just my lovely grandmother and they were always so nice. But behind the scenes, they were doing terrible things. And I kind of wanted to explore that familial relationship where maybe your parents wanted to hide terrors from their childhood to protect you from something. But at the end of the day, something's going to come out. And learning about different things from a variety of my different family members over time and the way things have kind of shaken out was the inspiration for the story.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Can I say one of the things about Mark's story that struck me right off the bat is just it is without being overtly none of the stories are gory or gross or anything like that. But a lot of them manage to still be chilling. And Mark's is just kind of a perfect example of that, where it is very creepy, without very tense, without being overly, without being over the top or anything like that. So well done, sir.
And may I say, that's a very relatable idea. In fact, someone with a big family, I relate to it myself. I've had relatives and my parents tell me stories about when they're growing up, and they're like, that's a horrible story. Why do you look back on that fondly? Mm. It's whole life that they lived before they gave birth to you.
Yeah.
The nerve.
The nerve.
Right.
Yeah.
Wild stuff. Wild stuff.
Why did they have to make my middle name Plan Ruiner? Patrick.
All right, let's get back to Mickey. You still with us, Mickey?
Yes.
All right, great. Do you want to tell what your story is in this book?
Yeah, so my story is titled Fairy Blooms. It's very short and very simple. It's two pages, and it's basically about a fairy making a flower bloom. And the human kind of sees it and is like, whoa, this is so cool.
Okay, so it's a little different from the other stories in that way.
Yeah.
Mickey provides a much-needed palate cleanser between some of the tales. And again, with the variety of people we had, there's a great spectrum of tones. So I was very grateful to have Mickey on board to, you know, kind of provide something a little bit more light between, you know, all of these other sinister things going on.
Well, let me ask a quick question. Does a girl who is like working on a diary or something like that, is that you or is that somebody that you know or is that a creation of your imagination?
I like to think that almost all of my characters resemble me in some way. So it could be a part of me, I guess, but it wasn't intended to be. It just kind of happened that way.
Okay, very cool, very cool. So that's kind of fun stuff, but something a little different. Let's see, we got Mark, we got, how about Michael? Michael, do you want to go ahead and talk about your story?
Sure. My story is a six-pager called Deadlines. It was originally a concept of a computer programmer working in his office and trying to finish his work for the day really rapidly. And then we find out that he's monster proofing it because, you know, there's monsters out, especially tonight. And then he's setting up like all these barricades and things to protect all his stuff from being damaged. And then it turns out that he's a werewolf. And so he's predominantly the monster that he's trying to protect everything from. And then the idea like transitioned to him being more of someone who goes out and protects innocence during the full moon. And that originally the idea was that it would be very focused on like the countdown, as it were, and kind of just end as he leaps out the window. But then it transitioned to much more focusing on like his thoughts and then having more of the adventure after his transformation.
Okay, very cool. Okay, so this, I think we've got everybody here represented. Now, Nathan, I'm going to go back to you. There are obviously other stories in the book besides the folks that are here with us. Mm-hmm. Do you want to mention some of them, or what would you like people to know about the rest of the book?
Oh, man, I want people to know that this has probably been one of the easiest books I've ever had to promote just because I am so excited about it and just the quality of the work that's in it. Again, I mentioned previously, like the wide spectrum of tones in terms of the tales. The two I really would like to shout out. I'm a little sad that they couldn't make it tonight, but let's see. One of my other favorites. They're all my favorites.
Better be.
They're all awesome. One is called The Werewolf's Nibbling. Which is about a furry who does a ride along with a actual werewolf pack. So it's every bit as hilarious as that sounds. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we had I believe it's called Moonlit Promises by Andrei Ostapenko. And that just about made me cry. It's another werewolf tale, but it's about like a mother who's in the process of giving birth, but then she has to give her baby away almost immediately because it's a full moon and she's about to turn. So, again, just the tone, the spectrum, and all of it just like top notch. These people have me lit up and excited about launching this book.
Well, if it's okay, I want to mention one that caught my attention. There's one called The Centerpiece of Karnak's Tower.
Oh, yes.
Written by Patrick R. Hicks and illustrated by Jack Van Tome, I guess is the mm-hmm. best pronounced. Mm-hmm. This, again, reminds me very much of the pandemic.
Yes.
What happens is all of a sudden there's a guy walking outside and he comes into a building. And the first thing he does is he kneels and look up at this thing. And he says, "Good morning, master."
Mm-hmm.
And it goes straight downhill from there.
That's it. And if that ain't a metaphor for corporate America, I don't know what is. let's see. I don't want to I don't think it's giving too much away to say that there is a Lovecraftian horror that lives in the heart of his office building that the main character is a caretaker for. So, again, corporate America, the usual. The artwork on that one is fantastic as well. The way the colors mix in that one is just, fun to watch.
Well, the one thing that story teaches you, if something it seems too good to be true, it usually is.
Right.
That's something that, a lesson that some folks unfortunately have to learn when this story comes up. But that was the one that caught my attention the most because, again, the pandemic stuff, it just felt like a pandemic all over the place.
Well, you know what's interesting about the pandemic, is that it kind of made us all just live in our own, Lynchian existential horror for kind of a while, even though we were trapped in our own houses. But the fact that we couldn't leave that, X amount of square footage wherever we possibly live. And so it just made our imaginations go wild.
Right. And one of the interesting through lines in almost every story that was completely unintentional was just how much every story is about just trying to get by in an ever weirder world. Like every character, every human, every monster is just, trying to find their footing and their equilibrium in this this brave new world. And so it's weirdly heartwarming in a way to find that we're all still just kind of trying to muddle through.
It's such an interesting book in that I always like that the shadows are not only shadows in this book too. If you're looking in the shadows, there's usually teeth in there and spooky eyes looking out. Just what I always feared. The shadows are in there.
Well, tripping on that, I don't know if you could call it Lovecraft, specifically, but just anything involving eldritch horror or evils from beyond, recorded history or whatever. I'm just all about that. Just the unknowable, which is what I've always found the most terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was one, I don't think we've touched on it. There's one about I think it's a young girl and she's a video gamer. And
yes, that's in the sampler.
Yes. That was one. I like that one a lot. I'm not a gamer myself, but I know people who are gamers and they live to game. And the ending was what really surprised me on that one. That's one of the things I really liked about these stories is that the endings often did not go anywhere I expected. And I think that's something that's particularly enjoyable for me because, the last panel, I have to say, be sure you get to that last panel with that because that was wonderful stuff. Monsters are not always the bad guys in these things, and that's kind of fun. That's one where there's some. I did also want to talk about the key to all your problems.
Yes.
That one was one of my favorites.
Yes, right. I'm looking at it right now on my monitor.
Thane Frederick Bennison, another friend who I've crossed paths with many times at conventions, based out of Denver. Everybody here is my favorite git, but he was also one of my favorite gits. So, I'm thrilled to have him aboard.
I like the guy. It starts out with a guy going into a place with all these keys hanging down from the ceiling. And the person or whatever it is that talks to him and says, says, you're here because you have a problem. And we have a key for every problem. It says, now, what that resolution is going to be is not what they offer, but the guy very happily takes things up on that. And it again, has a very interesting resolution to it. Not the way I might want to solve problems, but the problem does get resolved, shall we say. I think that's probably the best thing we can say about that.
There's a little comic art thing that I love in here, and this is just technical crap that, Nathan and I, and I'm sure the rest of you think way too much about. But this is probably the story that makes the best use of the format because it starts off with, I'm looking at the grid right now. Yeah, it starts off with 3x3, and as the pages go on, there are more panels, but they get tinier and tinier and tinier. So as the horror ramps up, it gets more and more claustrophobic as with the individual actions. It's a very clever use of the format.
Yes, thanks for calling that out. It is I always have to talk Thane up a little bit because he is like few people I know personally push the art of comics the way he does. If you ever find him at a convention, you need to stop by his table because he has created all of these books that are not just comics. They are also games. So there's a degree of interaction to them. I'm not going to do the explanation justice, but he has these things where like, if you fold them certain ways, like the story goes one way. And if you fold them another way, the story goes another way. And it's just like, I always have to trip over them a little bit. I also have to shout out the previous story you were talking about the, playing video games with the monster uh-huh. under the bed is called Under the Bed by Joe Higgins.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about video games enough. Can I mention something quickly? Across the Hall kind of started out as a video game idea. I was interested in learning a game maker, and I kind of wanted to make it a top-down RPG, like something kind of a little artsy, similar like maybe Undertale and Braid. But the thing is that I spent way too much thinking about the story and the symbolism and what the hell everything meant, as opposed to actually programming the day-to-day of what it takes to make an actual game like that. So I think once you actually start thinking about what it all means when you're making a video game, you're kind of approaching it from the wrong like vantage point.
I wanted to go back to the key to all your problems real quickly. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's black and white, except for certain noises are those noises are in red, and that's not the only thing that's in red. But there are other things going on, and one of the things too, you talked about the fact that the number of panels increases as we go along. That's not the only thing that increases as we go along. There's we get to that last panel, and certain things that have been seen in previous panels, let's just say that they increase before I get to the very end, which I really liked. Like, I thought the whole thing was going to be black and white when I first looked at it, but when I saw the red go in there, I thought, he's going to make different use of the color, and that's one of the things I really liked.
That last page part. Looks like an Instagram post from hell. It's fantastic. nice.
Really well done.
I would also say that like Thane did a good job with like suspense for everyone in the like Concrete Arcanum group, because like we have this like the Facebook production group that we've had for a while, and he posted 3 out of 4 pages and he left out the last right. page.
Yeah.
Oh, son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. That's really funny.
That's right.
When Nathan finally sent out the like book samples, I like opened it and immediately was like, what the hell is on this fourth page?
Yeah, my girlfriend was like, my girlfriend was like, when is he going to send the next page? What's the next page?
Oh, you got to have a little bit of showmanship. Like, we focus so much on illustrating the thing and, like, you know, it, like actually telling the story. Like, we rarely consider the showmanship. I love stuff like that.
I also liked one called Just Another Day by Hannah E. Smith, which was something a little different.
Yeah.
That was a really good one. It starts out where it says, I guess I'm kind of lucky the change happened while I'm in my 30s. I mean, it's a pretty big historical event. I should be excited to be part of it, right? Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to other stuff. And, of course, obviously that's referring to the monsters showing up. And first thing we see is a young child reading a book with what looks like a young werewolf. And then the monster world intersecting with ours, and things go on, and it didn't end up the way I expected, shall I say. I love things that don't go where I expect them to go. I have to stop and think about it, and that's what this particular story does to me, which I like.
I just love the lushness and the density of Hannah's work. Like, it's every page is like a Where's Waldo, where you can just like get lost in the details of it. She populated this world so brilliantly. Every time I go through it, I just need to like take a minute to like on each of her pages.
Now, the last one in the book is kind of a green and orange story. Have we talked about that story, or is that one we haven't touched on yet?
Is that not Hannah's? Let's
That's Moonlit Promises. That is Andre and Brian. How do you say that?
Is that Brian? Well, nobody gets Mouth Teddy?
Nobody gets my name right. I want to get everyone else's name right.
Brayan, maybe, I guess. So anyway, what's the story with that one? Because that is interesting too as well.
That is the one that I mentioned earlier, Moonlit Promises, with the mother who's in the process of giving birth, but she's a werewolf. It's a full moon. She has to give her baby away almost immediately in order to keep it safe. And the entire dialogue of it is a promise to her new child and how she's going to keep them safe not only herself but also the greater world. I don't know if there's any other parents in the chat at the moment, but oh my god, that just I got teary and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
It was really interesting to me, and I was interesting that was the last one in the preview section I got to see. Because mm-hmm. That really struck me. The choice of color really got me. The green and the orange.
Yes.
It's almost Christmassy, like the green and the red / orange that goes in.
Right.
And yet, it's not quite there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really,
that's
really
hard to pull off with red and green to have it.
It is.
Not
it is. I've tried it before.
Yeah. And the way he does it is again almost more Lovecraftian than Christmassy. I do love the American Werewolf. It's almost an American Werewolf in London poster in the background there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, are there, if people want to get hold of this preview, is there a way for people to see that just like I did?
Oh, let's see. I was gonna take it down once the project. Now that the project is launched, I should say. But you know what? Maybe just I'll put it up on the Kickstarter page. So yes, you can go download of the 30 stories that is in the book. For a free sample, Wet Your Whistle, and on the Kickstarter page. And you can go get there just by going to concretearcanum.com.
Yeah, of the people in the room, who's in the sampler? I'm in the sampler. Mickey is in the sampler.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think.
Yes.
Is that it?
Sure.
Might be.
I was waiting for another person to speak up. I apologize.
So there's 30 stories and only 10. Ha ha ha.
Can't give away the farm all the way. But.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of interested. This is the second edition of this. The first one came out in 2022, about 3 years ago. Do you want to talk about the reception to that book and how you got into a second book of this?
Right.
Nathan?
I'm not going to lie, this Living with Monsters almost didn't happen. The first one was good. We kind of funded by the skin of our teeth. And so I had kind of, and it was the biggest Kickstarter I had ever done to date. So fulfilling it was a project, let's say. To say the least. So I and my girlfriend almost immediately afterwards was like, when are you going to do the second one? When are you going to do the second one? And I'm sitting there like, are you kidding me? So I had between the amount of effort it took to fulfill the first one and again, the fact that I felt that it just squeaked by its funding goal, I had kind of written it off as that was a fun thing to try. Don't know if I'll do it again.
That was awesome. Let's never do it again.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Kind of. But then let's see, late last year, I like to poll my audience, ask them what they're interested in. And one of the questions I asked was what project are like of these projects, what are you most interested in seeing from me. And Concrete Arcanum was a follow-up to Concrete Arcanum was like the number one thing that people asked for. So I kind of even included that as an option just as a lark, but I was kind of surprised to see that. And I was like, okay. And then I looked at my inventory, and I realized that half the books that I had printed on the first after that first Kickstarter were already gone. So between other Kickstarters and selling at conventions, people that's when it kind of started to sink in that people liked this thing. And then still not quite believing it, I put out a call for submissions and thinking like, there's still part of my brain that's like, oh, nobody's gonna do this again. You know, nobody's gonna, right.
You fool.
And I was looking to create, like a 200 page book, and I got 300 pages worth of submissions. So,
failed past
it. Yeah. So it definitely took the rest of the world beating me over the head a little bit. But I'm glad I finally got the message, because again, I can't say this enough. This is an awesome book. Like this is the kind of book that even if I weren't making it, I would be excited for it.
It's interesting because anthologies, the big companies, quote unquote, don't like anthologies. They want to avoid that. But somehow with independence and with crowdfunding, they're one of the most popular things, these kinds of things, because you get to sample a whole bunch of people's stuff.
Yeah.
And I always think that's a good thing.
Yeah. And I think that kind of ties in a little bit to the independent comic artists, or the people that like independent comic artists, and the like to frequent Kickstarter, is they're looking for that new thing. I myself love the tights and capes. They're great, but I also want to see something new. The people that are looking for new and interesting and different styles, things that are unconventional, stories that you wouldn't normally see out of the big three, they do like these kind of things, as you say. They're looking to find their next favorite indie creator and have that little sense of pride and satisfaction they get from supporting an up-and-comer.
Well, it's something I should mention too, but it was on the page that I noticed. It says, all returning backers from the first Concrete Arcanum will receive an exclusive mini print featuring the cover art. And I thought that's a nice way to bring people back, is offer them
a little extra. Yeah. Cool. I've been kickstarting for a little bit now, and I do like to reward the people that have who keep coming back, who keep enabling me. Let's be real, and let's see, and who keep making what I do possible, and what all of us one of the do possible.
Yeah, one other thing I want to talk about. There's a thing about each 30 backers unlocks another free comic. And there's a whole table full of them. It goes from 30 up to 450 backers. So do you know who those people are at this point, or is that something that's going to be figured out as you work your way along?
I do know who those people are. I have them all locked in and ready to go. So this is, people play the cards right, if we can get pretty high up there in terms of backer count, this has a potential to be like a huge smorgasbord of your new favorite indie creators. So not only that, but one of the other reward tiers that I want to shout out is the Creator Compendium, which also highlights the solo projects that each creator in the book has. So not only do you get both Concrete Arcanums, the first one and this one, you also get, I believe we're up to 12 at this point, other e-comics featuring, as I mentioned, people's solo projects. And depending on how high we get in the backer count, 15 other ebooks on top of that. So let's see, like, I've lost count. I've lost count at this point. That's like almost 50, I think, ebooks on the table here. So for which I dare say is a pretty good deal.
It's a summer reading list.
Yeah, right.
Very cool. And again, I should mention, people, it's under Concrete Arcanum Living with Monsters is the way that you find it, because this is the subtitle of the second book, it looks like. And we're just going to conclude again, Nathan.
The last day is July 18th, but don't delay, because like I said, the more backers we get, the more comics you get.
Yeah, and not only that, is all these people will be sitting there going, refresh.
I know. And that's not just keeping one creator in suspense, you're keeping like 45 creators in suspense.
That's right, because it's what I call the crowdfunding refresh disease. Mm-hmm. You constantly are refreshing, because if somebody hasn't refreshed in the last 5 seconds, that's it. It's over.
Yeah, never going to refresh. Right.
I got the video version of that, because it takes like a millisecond for like, you know, somebody to share your video and the views go up. So I just keep waiting for that moment where I'm just kind of like, has it gone viral? Yep. Some of my life in a lot of ways, now that I think about it.
Yeah, totally, you know, go viral in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Yes. So we want to make sure. Go ahead.
Oh, all I was going to say was, before I quit Twitter, I had to have a conversation with myself, because I quit Twitter because of Elon, but I also had to kind of sit and acknowledge that I had spent 10 years waiting for that viral moment on Twitter, and I just had to make peace with the fact that it was never going to happen, and I just had to let that go. That was more difficult, believe it or not. Like, because Elon, who cares? But like, making peace with my place in the creative world, I'm like, oh, that was a rough one.
We just do it because we love it.
And you do it for the love of the game.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, before I let everybody go, let's have each person talk about how people can follow you on social media, speaking. But let's start with Nathan. If people want to follow you, how do people do that on social media?
I am Nathan Luth Illustration on all of the socials. Nathan, just like spelled like Nathan. Last name is Luth, and then the word illustration. You can find me at NathanLuthIllustration.com, and Concrete Arcanum is ConcreteArcanum.com.
All right, let me go in order like I did before. Seamus, you're next. How do people follow you?
Okay, basically any platform you want to find me on, you can find me at a website. What Schmuck still has those. You can look up spherk.com, but if you don't want to bother with any of that, I'm also on Threads and TikTok and Instagram, all under the same handle, SP Burke. The only difference is that there's underscores in the middle of the S and the P. It's kind of a pain in the butt, but what are you going to do? And I'm also on YouTube under SP Burke as well, where I do art streams, and I also do gaming. To promote the Kickstarter, I'm actually going to be streaming Deltarune Chapter 3 and all throughout the month of June. So keep an eye out for that. And before I stop talking, I should probably mention that the neighbor in that story was fine. I saw him walking his dog the next day, and I not to ask questions. I felt I should probably mention that before the podcast was over. He's fine. He's fine.
the worst manicure ever, but he's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Next up is Mickey. How do we follow you on social media?
I want to say kind of the same thing.
For the moment. Let's
Mickey,
go
to
Mark.
No.
Mark, how do we follow you?
Oh my goodness.
I can be followed on Blue Sky. I am Attic Door Mark. But mostly, if you want to follow me, you can follow Attic Door Media. That is the Instagram and the Facebook handles for the publishing company that we run.
Okay. I think Mickey's back. Mickey, you there?
Hello.
Can you give the social media ways that we can follow you?
Yes. So I also want to say my website, which is www.mickiee.art. So, and you can find, I do YouTube, Tumblr, and Instagram, and TikTok. And you can find all those socials on that website. Plus my other comics.
Oh, great. And let's see. Last one, Michael. How about you?
Yeah, on social media, I am Michael Howe Arts. Howe spelled H-O-W-E. I am on Instagram and Blue Sky mainly. having migrated away from Twitter. I also have my own website, michaelhowarts.com. And you can also find me on Twitch and YouTube with the same name.
All right. And once again, it's Concrete Arcanum Living with Monsters. And it'll be the middle of July. And I don't know why I can't remember that date in my head. But it's going to be the middle of July. But don't wait until then, because we want to make sure that everybody can breathe a sigh of relief and make sure that this is going to happen. So be sure to support them as soon as you can. As soon as you get done listening to this interview, get out there and get this 216-page modern fantasy anthology going, because we want to keep it going. And Nathan, I want to thank you and everybody for getting together with us today and to be able to share Concrete Arcanum with folks. And thanks to everybody for being here.
A pleasure as
thank
always.
You.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much, sir.
If you're enjoying this show, I would greatly appreciate your support. For $5 a month, you can ensure I'm able to bring you interviews with comic creators week after week. You can support the show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Check out that address, again, patreon.com/majorspoilers, for more information. Thanks in advance. And that's it for this episode. Be back next time. I'll have another great interview with an excellent comics creator, something I'm sure you won't want to miss. But until then, keep reading your comics.